Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Honest Conversations with Alex Cubis. I'm sitting with...
Crit.
Christian Schmidt.
Yep, that's right.
Fulbright scholar, former MTV VJ, now LA resident, originally Kiwi born, migrated through Australia, has lived in the US before. Quite the journey and quite the... Oh man, this is so lame. I was going to say quite the hairdo, but I just couldn't because
Don't do it, man.
I looked at your hair just as I saw it and I was like, oh, I just got to comment on it. But
it's not even looking that good those
days. It's looking so good. If you guys have to look this dude up. You got to check out his website. I'll do all the plugs at the end for how you can follow up on him. And
yeah.
You're on Twitter, right? You can ask him more questions or make it continue the conversation outside of this, this podcast interview. I wanted to start with... if you're up for it, honest conversations. So we'll start with the first questions. I think I feel I need, I want. Now in this moment.
I think I'm hungover. What's next?
You've already done think, so you need to do I feel, need, and want.
Okay, feel. I think I'm hungover. I feel hungover. Fuck. No, I feel good. I feel like... I'm in LA. This is where I need to be right now. Yeah. I feel like this is a good space that I'm in. And I've been in this, and so especially in the last month, I've just been in a place of self-discovery and just self-healing in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel. I'm feeling good. I need... Shit. Okay, I'm going to stop doing the hangover references because that's tired now. I need to just keep grinding. I think that's what we all need to do, is just, you know, keep honoring what we do, our work and our relationships with truth. And that's why I'm in a good place, really, is because I am coming to that place of self-truth.
Nice.
And I want I just want to be the best version of me.
Great.
That I can be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, that's a great start. So the first thing I want to ask you about is self-truth. What does that mean to you?
It's just
pretty on topic for the podcast.
Mm. Self-truth. Well, I just read this book that my best friend sent to me, and it's called The Drama of the Gifted Child. There's the hangover.
I just caught it, actually. I looked at it when I walked in. Yeah, that looks amazing.
Yeah, the Drama of the Gifted Child.
Were you a gifted child yourself?
We're all gifted children.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And that's what it speaks to. It speaks to how... well, basically, it talks about how when you're young, you're taught to hide certain parts of yourself, you know, mm-hmm. that might disappoint your parents or, you know, and so you kind of lose a part of yourself.
Sure.
And you bury it. And because you're burying this... part of yourself, you're kind of putting up walls to block parts of yourself off, and so you can't actually bring your all to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And until you kind of go back and break those down and process them, you'll never be able to really bring yourself as a whole to anything you do. So so it's about that. And so I kind of went back, because, you know, the book talks about this, when most people think of their childhoods, they think, oh no, it was great, it was amazing, you know, but we all experience trauma. And most of us haven't dealt with it. And until you do that, you can't, you can't really move forward as your true self. So
when you first experience success, both in the academic world and in entertainment, did they coincide with you shedding those walls that you put up? Or do you honestly think that you're only starting to get rid of them now?
Oh, I'm only just starting to get rid of them now.
Really?
And that's the thing, that book talks about depression, which it describes as being separated from yourself.
Yeah.
And then there's two ways that comes to the light. And that's through either the depression that we know of, you know, where someone's like, you know, really down and out and just, you know, fucking lost. And then there's the other end of the scale. Which is this grandiosity and just being big and overachieving and all that shit. So, you know, I think that may have been an indication of that.
Right. So it was like when you first achieved. So when, what was like your first crowning moment of success? Was it when you won the Fulbright Scholarship, or was it When you like started university, or like when you graduated high school, or
no, I think.
And was that, did that coincide with you trying so hard to be someone else other than what you truly were, but you nevertheless managed to achieve something great?
I think it starts in your childhood. You know, you start. Okay. It's just little steps that build up to the bigger things, but yeah. You start doing it.
Yes.
You know, subconsciously. Right from school, high school, you know, like whether it's you just having a big personality and, you know, making sure you're the center of attention, you know. Mm. Well, not that I fucking need to be all the time, but you know,
you were things. When you were in school, like, were you like class clown in any way? Or?
I've never been that funny, but I always stood out, you know, like, yeah. I always made sure people knew who I was, but I was, I think, as far as high school goes, I was. Yeah, I just did well in my subjects, you know. I was the top of the class in most of my subjects, so I think maybe that had something to do with it, just wanting to... I mean, you know, there was a hard work ethic, but
yeah.
Subconsciously, again, that's probably me trying to compensate for this trauma, or, you know.
Yeah, I only ever saw academic success for external validation. Was that a part of... Was that a similar motivation for you, or you were genuine passion, like it was a genuine passion for you?
Oh, I mean, I've always just loved to learn.
Okay, yeah. That's cool.
And, but yeah, it was definitely, I mean, you know, there's a lot of importance placed on education in my family too.
Yeah.
You know, there was always something for my parents, you know, make sure you go to university. Yeah, make sure you get your shit done so you can do well in school.
Right.
Because it's going to, you know, it's going to lay the track for where you go.
To give some context for the listeners, so Christian has got an awesome website that I would encourage you all to check out. He documents quite openly and freely, I guess because it is your own space. Ordinarily, you wouldn't see that, literally, that level of honesty where you share conversations that you've had with entertainment professionals. That, I mean, in this industry, people don't sort of talk about how people rejected you or whatever. They don't go into those details. And if they do, it's like in a memoir when the person's like 60 and no one really cares anymore, you know, like in Alec Baldwin's recent book or Jane Fonda or anyone, you know, like they're, yeah. It's past the point of being relevant, but you like have shared those stories. Do you mind if I say the name of the person? Like it's on your website.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Like for Australian listeners, Jay Lagaya. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Oh, Lagaya.
Yeah. So Christian reached out to him. This is a perfect like conversation. You reached out to him,
yeah.
Seeking sort of support from another actor, I guess, of non-Caucasian descent, which when you moved to Australia to be an MTV VJ, you weren't very well represented. So you reached out to him. He said, "We'll catch up.
Yeah.
I'm busy. Contact me in a few weeks." You, like, there's a screenshot on Christian's website showing this conversation, and then you did reach out to him again.
Yeah.
And he didn't, and he saw the message board, didn't reply.
Yeah.
And you reached out to him again a couple of weeks later after, yeah. That, which is totally appropriate. And he didn't reply. Yeah. And then Christian posted this journal post on his website like a month ago, explaining your experiencing, I guess you would term them as microaggressions in Australian entertainment, or just
straight up prejudice.
Racism, ignorance, naivety, and highlighting the problems with particularly the Australian entertainment industry and your path, I guess. And you cited that conversation, and then that went viral, was picked up by a bunch of websites, and then Jay commented on it on your Facebook page in a bit of a rambling,
confusing way. He posted on a... I did a second piece because I was approached by Junkie.
Yeah.
And so it was the piece that was published by Junkie Media, okay. that he commented on.
Right, yeah. right. And when is that the first time that you have been honest about those types of situations? Like, was this something that's happened in the past 6 months where you have shared more about yourself? And have you noticed that it's been either a consequence of a shift in your personality, or you've had to really... take a gamble in doing something like that, and then it's therefore caused a shift in your personality?
No, I think I've always been pretty honest in terms of my sharing. Like, okay. You know, in terms of writing, I've always been honest. That's really cool. With that. But, and I've always been open about the fact that I didn't like Australia. I didn't like my time in Sydney.
Okay.
I've always been very honest about that.
Even while, like, when you were hosting, like, did you say that on air or you've been honest, like, in other interviews?
Oh, I've been honest in speaking to people, you okay. know, like, and right. to cool. anyone I met, I just, you know, I'd be honest. I was just fuck, I hate it here, you know.
Right, right, right. It's good.
But I think when I wrote that piece, I think I likened it to an abusive relationship where you don't really know how bad it is until you're out of it.
Okay.
And so that's when I really had the time to really reflect and be able to articulate what I was going through once I was outside of it. So that's where that came from. And I just had the inspiration. Yeah, it just kept telling me, you know, shit, you need to process this somehow. And I hadn't written in a while because I've always loved to write. And it had been like more than a year. And yeah, it just felt right. And so when it did come out, like fucking everything came out, you know. So it was, it felt really good. And now I just, you know, talking about that place of truth, I'm just, every time I write now, I make sure it's not something forced. It's because I'm being inspired to, and people connect with that. So
they connect with that specificity and that realness or honesty or whatever you want to call it. I guess vulnerability as well. Are you like that in conversations with people? Or have you noticed that, especially being in LA, you've had to sort of hold back in a way that you wouldn't with your writing? Like with a conversation with like a manager or an acting teacher or someone you've met here, have you sort of just told them what's up? Or have you noticed that you've had to watch yourself a bit?
No, I think there's a difference between being honest and being vulnerable. Like I'll always be honest, but vulnerability, I'll only share that with... like I'm learning more and more now to only share my energy with people that I want to invest it in, you know, like
okay.
So I'm learning a lot about taking care of myself. And so when it comes to vulnerability, I mean, you need it in acting and I'm very new to the game. So that comes out when I'm performing, but in terms of with people, like I'm very careful with who I'm vulnerable around, because you're sharing energy and you're giving a part of yourself up and you're taking in someone else's, you know, so you got to watch that. But being honest, like I call out shit like as it comes now, like, and I guess going back to that whole place of truth, like I'm becoming more impulsive and just trusting my gut. So when shit does come up, like I'm more reactive to it now. But it's still, you know, I'm still a work in progress.
That trait, which I'm guessing you've had in some form or another for a while, would you attribute a lot of your success to that?
To my impulses?
Yeah, well, that ability to call something out, say what's on your mind,
I guess it's...
Because it makes you more distinctive, I guess. People, like, don't have the courage. People don't do it. People don't have the courage to do that.
I think it has had a lot to do with, I mean, you know, it works in both ways. Some people don't want to hear the truth, and so that can work against you in a lot of ways too. But when you come from where I come from, you have to fight. You know, you gotta fight for everything you have. And oh god, I'm getting emotional now because I'm just thinking of I'm thinking of my mum and just watching her and all the shit that she's kind of had to put up with. And I'm not a confrontational person at all. Yeah. Like, you know, some people don't know that. But my mum fucking was born with fire in her belly. You know, her and her siblings have been fighting their whole lives just to be respected. And I've watched that. And that's not me naturally. But you have to do it. Otherwise, you're going to get walked over. As a Pacific person in New Zealand and Australia, you fucking have to. So... Yeah, so it wasn't so much as a way to stand out. It was more of a way to just survive, you know, to fucking...
Do you think it's a similar experience to the African-American experience in the States?
It's such a different...
It's different cultural it's a very different historical.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's familiar in a sense, but I could never compare them like this.
Right. That would be too reductive to actually probably draw a comparison.
It's crazy. But I mean, you know, oppression, the oppression's there and I can identify with that, you know, and, but you know, what we have in common is white supremacy. You know, that's what's running, basically, you know, running all these systems of oppression. Yeah.
You only have to watch a White House press conference to. I mean, even even the White House, like that's too symbolic. It's almost comical. Tell me the story how you got the Fulbright scholarship or awarded that.
Oh, so I was when I graduated from University of Auckland.
Yeah, did you do English undergrad or
no? I went to law school. So
oh, same as me.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I knew that. So I finished.
So you did BA LLB undergrad.
Yep.
Yep. Cool. Yep.
So I graduated and I got admitted to the High Court, but I just knew I wasn't meant to be a lawyer. So, mm-hmm. So I started working for the university, doing a lot of outreach in high schools for young Māori and Pacific students. Excuse me, and then. One day I went to a conference and at the conference they were advertising Fulbright, like the CEO at the time, her name's Millie Wendt. She was like, oh, hey, you know, here's Fulbright. This is what we're about. Make sure you go out and encourage your students to apply for this. And then I was like, oh man, this sounds awesome. And then as I was reading through, I was like, oh shit, I'm eligible for this. You know, I can apply for this.
Yeah.
And so I ended up calling her up and just having a
conversation. What's the number one criteria? Like the top three criteria that you have to meet?
You have to
besides have, academic success.
Oh, it's so there's a GPA
yep.
that you have to have, and you have to there's like you have to have a 4-year undergrad degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to you have to have a 4-year degree, so it can either be like a 3-year undergrad and a 1-year postgrad or law, which is, you know, 4 years.
Right.
And then you have to write 2 essays, and a lot of it is, you have to write an essay on your study objectives,
mm-hmm.
Which is more the, you know, the nuts and bolts of what you want to do and how you can give back to New Zealand. And the second essay you have to write is a personal essay, and that's really about you, like who are you as a person, and what are you about, you know, what are your values and all that. So those are the big things. Those are the main kind of components of Fulbright scholarship. And and I got it, as you know.
When was that? What year?
That was I left in 2010.
Okay.
So it was I found out about it in 2009 maybe.
Okay.
So I had to kind of keep it quiet for like a good 9 months or something like that
before it was announced.
Yeah, I think it was about nine months.
Were you able to tell your parents?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. No, I told my family. I had to left. So I studied in Pennsylvania for 2 years.
University UPenn?
No, it was a small private school called Lehigh University. Okay. And their program there just was a really good fit for what I wanted to study.
You did an MA in education?
MED.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And there was... And a big reason why I went to Lehigh was because they offered a full fee waiver. So
right.
Normally, like, honestly, school fees out here are like $50,000 a year or something, you know, ridiculous like that. So to have that was a huge help. I know.
Sounds. What are those sounds?
Dying out there. Is, oh, like my God.
LA, is that a dog?
I think it's 2 dogs. They're kind of in chorus with a siren.
Interesting. Anyway, continue. So you chose that uni because of full like fee waiver.
Full fee waiver. Because Fulbright, it carries with it a lot of prestige, right? So it carries with it a lot of prestige, but not necessarily a lot of money. But it was, I think it was $25,000 at the time.
Okay.
Which won't carry you far in money, but because schools want to attract Fulbright scholars, they will do things like, you know, waive your fees. So that was a really big help. So I studied that. The program was called Comparative and International Education, and my focus was comparing initiatives for Black and Latino students with Māori and Pacific students back home.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
And just seeing what ideas we could kind of bring back. So, yeah, right. I loved it. Those 2 years were two of the best years of my life in terms of growth and personal, academic, just professional growth.
It's a confluence of being obviously away from your country, but also doing something challenging and...
Yeah, and just the people I was meeting too. Yeah. Like, I always think... The best part about any place you go is the people. The
people, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm back to being in a place of growth right now, because I do feel like I'm back where I belong, and I've got those same people, you know, and I'm in contact with him. I'm in much closer proximity with him, even though they might be fucking mile, you know, thousands of miles away or whatever.
They're on the same time, similar time zones.
Where you can
speak to them. And
exactly.
Very cool.
It's just a lot easier to talk to them now.
Yeah. So. Okay. And then you went and became a lecturer. And then the story about how you became an MTV VJ was just an open audition. And then just being, besides naturally talented and all around blessed, you landed that and then moved to Sydney. And then I read on your website, you were talking a lot about, it's entertainment, especially being a presenter, is freelance.
Yeah.
But you were able to hustle and you source a lot of your own opportunities, and you've got a photo with The Rock on there, and you're talking about getting free swag and all of this sort of stuff. So basically tell me the story about how you got to hustling. So like, was there a starting point where you moved to Sydney and you became the MTV presenter?
Yeah.
And then were you like on a hiatus where you were like, oh, I need to arrange some other work? And then did you just, how do you go about doing that?
I mean, I've always been a hustler. Like,
okay.
I mean, that's from being a little kid, like I said, man, I come from the hood. So you kind of have to be creative in the way you know, if you want certain things, you got to learn ways to go and get them. And I'm talking about I used to pluck my dad's gray hairs for pocket money, right?
No way.
Yeah, so you get like 10 cents a hair or whatever.
Wow.
So I plucked hairs, and then I went and got bought a computer. I put a deposit on a computer that had a CD writer.
Yeah.
And then once I had a CD writer, I used to go and burn CDs for kids at school and sell them at school, you know? So sort of thing. So that's how I paid off my computer, and then that's how I was, you know, I got to travel as a kid, like doing shit, you know, cheeky shit.
You're
like
entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
And then so particularly in entertainment, how did you like land all those extra opportunities?
Well, I've always...
Is it just through connecting with people?
Do you think it's your... For the most part, like that's always been my biggest strength, is building relationships and just networking. And I realized quite early on that that no one's going to do shit for you in that industry, you know? Like I've always been in the education sector. I've had mentors and people who really foster an environment where they care about your development, and that just was missing out there. So I was just like, well, shit, I can't rely on a manager to give me work, because one, they don't even know how to sell me, and they don't even know how to dress me, you know, like they were like, here's this brown face, like, what do we do with him, kind of thing. And you know, you just have to look through Australian TV, like flick through the channels, to see there aren't many people who look like me. So, well, there's none. So I had to...
Which makes you, in a way, all the more castable, at least in the US, I think.
In the US, yeah, but you would think in Australia there might be a niche, you know, but there's not even...
Which goes to show how backward Australia TV is.
It is so backwards.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I just got out there, did my thing, and
is it as simple as, for you, how do you balance coming across as too self-serving in conversations? Like, is it something you consciously think about with, like, I'm going to be friends with that person, and then after being friends with them for a couple of weeks, I'll ask them a favor to get me a gig?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine that you're that calculated. So how does it sort of manifest for you? Like, is it just sort of, you just find yourself navigating it pretty easily, and then if you connect with someone, you end up just asking them, oh, by the way, do you have an opportunity? Or
it was always like, oh, let's catch up for lunch, you know, I've met someone,
yeah,
let's sit down and catch up, and they know what I do, you know, right. So it's just like, oh, well, and they're not stupid, you know, like they work in the same industry, you know, and they're clearly getting something out of it too. So it's, you know, it works both ways.
Like, they're getting talent out of you.
Yeah. Well, right. Because they, you know, they need someone to fill the spot. So, yeah. I mean, it works both ways. That's the thing. Like, they're,
So it's recognizing your own value, that you are not the only one getting something out
of it. Yeah, exactly. And just being upfront. You're giving
them something too.
Yeah. And just being honest as well. Like, you know, when I sit with them, it's, you know, it's just like, well, you know, if you think of anything, let me know, because I'm happy to help out. You know, it's just as simple as that, you know, saying you're available, not like, well, can you get me in on this sort of thing? Uh-huh. It's just, and if you're a fit, you're a fit. Otherwise, like, don't push it, because if you're not a fit for it and you do it, like, it's just going to be empty. And that's what a lot of the work I was doing was just empty. Like, it didn't really mean much to me in the end.
Right.
But in saying that, it's all been... a stepping stone and learning about myself, and also it helped me get here. So
yeah,
you know, it was worth it in the end.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. The essay that you wrote for Fulbright application, is that the personal one?
Yeah.
Do you think that, have you gone back and looked at that since? And is it still the, are you still the same person?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the same person, but
you abide by the same values that you.
Yeah. Yeah. That yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
And I, because I, like, you know, when people reach out to me, mm-hmm. I will help them, you know, and I've had a lot of students come through and ask me about Fulbright and advice,
mm-hmm.
and I'll send them my essays and be like, well, this is what I wrote, you know, don't just take, copy, you know, don't just fucking, you know,
see what is in, carry through, express your integrity and don't be honest in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And just write your own, and very just cool. to give them an example. So that's, so I've, every time before I send it out, I'm like, okay, shit, let me just make sure this is what.
Yeah. You still abide by it. Yeah. So interesting. How often does that happen? How often do you send it out?
Not that often. Like, I've probably in the last year, I think because I'm working for MTV, it's probably, you know, I haven't had as many, but probably 6 or 7 times in the last year. Yeah,
so it's pretty frequent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more so like, I think a lot of people reach out, like a lot more people have reached out to ask mm-hmm. for advice, but then whether they apply for it or not and get to that point, that's another question, you know, okay. Some people will, will back out or whatever, or they just don't they just don't back themselves enough, which is a shame, you know, or they just don't allow themselves the opportunity to actually just go for it,
back themselves. Yeah. I think I feel I need, I want,
I feel, oh again,
yeah,
shit.
Feelings think, change on a moment to moment basis, yeah, man. You're true. Learning this in acting classes at the moment. It's all about in the moment. It's like, how are you right now?
I think we've had a good chat.
Okay.
I think that's all. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling less hungover.
Good.
I feel less hungover. Great. That's picked me up a little bit. I need to clean this house. That's what I need to do. Because I'm slowly, now that you've come in, I'm starting to see shit like, oh my gosh, I just let you in and this is the state of my apartment?
Dude, it's cool.
I think I need that. And I want to keep growing, and I want to keep getting to the bottom of who I am. Yeah, just really awesome. Getting to know myself. Yeah.
Surprised you didn't say hungry. Most people end on that.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Most people are like, oh, I want lunch.
I think they're so right. tired. That's a cop-out, man. Yeah, shit.
That's fine. All right. Dude, Christian, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, man.
That was a great chat. Listeners, I hope you... learn something from this all around awesome dude, and check out his website, follow him on Twitter, ask me any questions on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Please share this, subscribe. Until the next episode, guys, hope you're learning more about ideas about how creatives achieve success, are integral and truthful to themselves, and that expressing their thoughts and opinions on a moment-to-moment basis with integrity is a means by which they can, I guess, rise to the top and be leaders in their fields. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks, Christian. Until next time.